Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yes, it is. Hour number five of the G-Bag Nation. The final hour of Mike's run here with
us.
Not on the fan. He will remain on the fan. He'll be with the KNC Masterpiece starting on Monday. But with the G-Bag Nation, it's been 6.5 years running. And Mike, we went to the top together.
We did. It has been pretty awesome. I don't really believe it's over, if that makes sense. I know Monday I'm going to wake up. I've been waking up no matter what at 6:45 because of kids. But I'm going to wake up at 6:45 and then get in the car at around 7:45 to go to work. And that's maybe when I'm on a 10 o'clock show and it's not the G-Bag Nation.
Yeah.
It's maybe when it's going to hit. Because right now it doesn't really feel like, oh, this is it, the last show. I know we said it and everything and we've known about it for a little bit of time. But, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's not like you're quitting after.
Yeah, and I'm not leaving. Like, this is my last show ever on the fan.
Yeah, we're still teammates.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you spent half a decade trying to tell everybody that we were brothers and loved working together and then just quit without any notice. You know, you're just kind of changing the shift.
Yeah.
But we're remaining dedicated broadcast brothers with the same common goals that unite us in a very special and important way.
I hear you. Know?
It's not like any of that ever was, you know, transpiring and then trampled upon.
Okay.
And reversed course with. So we it's been great to have you, man. And we look forward to continuing to kick ass with you. Yeah. And you're joining a show there with the KNC Masterpiece that I think right now has better ratings than we do.
That's the one thing I put on Twitter yesterday is the reasons for, and number one reason is KNC Masterpiece is doing great.
They're
and so is G-Bag Nation.
Oh.
Both shows are doing things that have never been done in the history of DFW radio. Because, look, just the ticket's been around forever, and so they were doing things time ago. And now, all of a sudden, something that could never be done is being done. We are the best sports talk radio show and station in Dallas-Fort Worth. And so it's really awesome to be a part of something that a lot of people in the Metroplex said would never be even close to accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, aspiring radio professionals would run millions of miles, you know, to join this radio station. They would clear paths. Some might even kill to be a part of this radio station, right?
I've done it.
Yes, Jeff did it, actually.
Yeah, I killed a
guy. It was incredibly inspiring.
Another part-timer. He was talented back then. I wanted to make sure to clear the roadway.
Who is it? Who was it?
Nate Wood. He's dead.
Okay.
Killed
him. In Mansfield working like in their ISD.
Well, he's risen, kind of like the Shield.
Okay.
The Shield TV show. Yeah.
Like a Game of Thrones situation there with Jon Snow.
Yeah.
Got him going out there teaching the kids. Yeah. I think what we're saying is only an idiot would walk away from this radio station considering where we've been and where it's clearly going.
Okay. All right.
Pudgy Bear, Nate. Where's Lane?
I'm just interested to see how far you're going to keep doing this. This is fun.
Let's talk about what is on 1053thefan.com, though, our full-service local sports website. You can check it out every day, and we have breaking news on there when it comes up. Mm. We have, the videos that we do and articles that we write here sharing with you our sports perspective. Cowboys losing Byron Jones because of these mistakes was a genius video done by Jeff Kavanaugh earlier, and he posted it, and I watched it, and I was like, man.
Oh, you actually watched the video?
Yeah, I love it. If there was only somebody who had been saying this kind of stuff that we should be paying attention to, I don't know, maybe not 12 months ago, but at least 11 months ago, man, was there anybody in all of DFW, you know, all the way from the beginning of free agency until the middle of August that would have been saying, man, paying your running back might not be the best idea. Mm. I don't know. Well, apparently there was no cautionary tale to be seen, and the Cowboys went ahead and did that business with not only Ezekiel Elliott, but Jalen Smith as well. And now as a result, Cowboys Nation is in a place where we're probably going to have to say goodbye to what the third and fourth most important positions on the field, your cornerback and your pass rusher, or is it fourth and fifth most important? Because you sign deals with maybe the 10th and 11th most important position. So will it affect the team? Will is this the point where NFL fans, or maybe specifically Cowboys fans, are going to be like, okay, I understand now the positional value thing as we watch players who are, you know, affecting much more important parts of the game go in favor of guys that tackle and run with the football? And no disrespect to linebackers and running backs, because in the course of sports, those jobs are very, very difficult. Man, you have to be strong and fast and have incredible reactions. But what we've seen over time is that if your offensive line can create holes and your coaching staff can scheme openings and opportunities, a lot of different running backs can get 4.5 yards per carry. And unfortunately, as a linebacker, if you're not able to stick to the top tight ends and the bigger wide receivers like glue in the passing game, well, a lot of replacement-level linebackers end up kind of flowing to the football and being responsible or being in on the tackle. So how you differentiate yourself is hurdling the line of scrimmage and dragging down ball carriers in the backfield or locking down players in the passing game. And you know, the guys that the Cowboys paid don't do those things, Jeff. So I didn't mean to steal the thunder on your video, but I thought it was incredibly inspiring.
I feel like you're stealing the thunder on my whole segment.
You're right. No, your segment's coming up next.
Oh, good.
Your segment's
good.
Coming up. We're taking your thoughts and memories on Mike's great run here coming up in about.
Right now we want your thoughts and memories on my video.
Yeah.
That's what we want. Because my video was basically, if the Cowboys hadn't extended Jalen Smith and if they hadn't folded to Ezekiel Elliott, they'd both still be under contract. They'd still be here. They're not going to hold out and not play football. They'd still be here.
Yeah.
And that money could be allocated right this second to Robert Quinn and Byron Jones. Like, Zeke's money is about equal to what Byron Jones is going to get on the open market. He'll probably get a little bit more. Jalen's money is probably more than what Robert Quinn got. So that money equals out. You're going to lose a really good corner and your other pass rusher, your other real pass rush threat, because you just felt like, yeah, I got to reward these two guys. I got to do it. And so I think that their version of team building is an issue.
Yeah, the Cowboys really got carried away, I think, making that statement to their other free agents. Like, remember when Broadus talked to us and he was like, they're sending the message, the Cap guys are sending the message to everybody, we're open for business. If you want to do a deal, come on over. And I think
Jalen was smart.
Yeah, and Jalen was the guy that walked in and was like, okay, I'll do a deal. But I don't know, did the front office...
Like I said before, and I will say this again, the reason that he did that is because he knows he's not sure if that leg can hold up.
I hear you. Yeah, so, I mean, to me, I just wonder, did the front office and the cap guys get carried away seeing how big of an economic deal that appeared to be without checking to make sure that it made sense for all the right reasons? Whatever the case, a great video you should check out at 105throughthefan.com. Mike, elsewhere at 105throughthefan.com, here's a story.
Okay.
MLB has raised salaries for minor leaguers in 2021. Look at that.
That's awesome. They're going to be making hundreds of dollars now.
Yeah, you're looking at between a 38% and 72% bump. You're going from Class A players will go from $290 a week to $500 a week, and AAA players will go from $502 a week to $700 a week. So
it's something.
$2,800 a month to play minor league baseball. That's not horrible. At least you could throw in your $500 for rent.
Yeah.
And maybe have $500 for food, a $500 car payment, and then like $100 a week walking around money.
It's only 5 months of salary, though. It's not 12 months. So
what do those guys do in the off season? Because you have to practice. Do they just go live with their parents? Pretty much.
Now, what they really want you to do is they say, look, your money comes from your signing bonus. You're not going to get paid to play minor league baseball. If you play it for 6 years, six full seasons after getting drafted, and then people still want you, even though you didn't play in the major leagues, now you'll get paid somewhere between $25,000 to $50,000 a season to play minor league baseball.
Hmm.
But your first six full seasons. So when you get drafted, if you get drafted in 2020 and you go and play rookie ball, that doesn't count as a season. You just played 2.5 months of baseball. So then you have to play six more full years in the minor leagues, then to become a minor league free agent. And if you're good enough / AA, AAA guy, then somebody might pay you $5,000 a month to $10,000 a month.
Like that Joker guy last year that was in the Rangers spring training?
Dillard?
Dillard, yeah. Tim Dillard, yeah.
Yeah, he probably, honestly, because he's such a comedic guy, because his numbers aren't, you know, he should have been released out of baseball a few years ago, just being honest. But because he's such a funny guy and a good guy in the clubhouse, I bet they probably give him $12,500 to $15,000 a month.
Okay.
So probably around $75,000, even though you know, he can't really pitch even at a minor league level anymore.
But it makes it fun for the other players. It makes it fun for the fans, and you know, personalities like that are good.
And you
to
know,
have around.
From what I've heard from a couple of agents, is that one of the people that is the one pushing really hard to get rid of 42 minor league teams because they don't even really want minor league baseball is Jim Crane. Hmm. He's one of the major leaders that's pushing for, we don't need minor league baseball.
That's insane.
I don't think he knows the sport at all.
How does it even work without it?
He's just like, well, you know, just let him go play at Reverchon Park in Dallas and, you know, whatever park they want to play at Frisco, and we'll just keep watching them play. And, you know, we'll just put them in the major leagues if we think they're ready for the major leagues.
Yeah, it would stand to lose, like, what? How many minor league teams are there? So if you close 40 of them, is that a quarter of the minor league teams?
Every team has one, two, three, four, five, a minimum of five, but pretty much six, because you probably have a Latin America program. So you have five over here, and then one that'll be in Latin America.
So 20% of your minor leagues would get shut down. I think they would just disperse the players around to the other teams, and there would be 20% of the guys who would just be out of the job, right? Like your dream is over. And I don't know.
Probably,
do you need to keep all those dreams alive?
Probably not, but there have been guys. It's rare, right? But there have been guys that are nobody guys that end up really developing in the minor league system at 22 to 25, and all of a sudden you're like, son of a gun, like, it happened. And it's not – it doesn't happen a lot. So to your point, you're probably not going to miss out too much. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of cities where they do make money off of it. Like, if it's not shutting down, if it's not shutting down, think about what they're paying these guys. I got to put 23 guys in Kinston, North Carolina, and it's going to cost me $5,000 for a player. So 5,000 times 20. It's going to cost me $100,000 and change to put a team out there for the whole season from an organizational standpoint.
And that pays off to me. That doesn't sound like a lot of money.
And most likely, if I'm talking about Kinston, North Carolina, that's high A ball, you're going to get five to seven guys on average from your high A-ball team to eventually make the major leagues.
All right, final story at 105 through thefan.com. Cadence 13 is launching a new sports documentary podcast franchise. It's going to be on our radio.com network, and it's going to explore the Astros sign-stealing scandal. It's a premium podcast company. And it's going to explore in-depth a wide range of compelling stories and people from the world of sports. And season one is going to be focused on that Astros World Series winning sign-stealing scandal. It's going to be hosted and written by Ben Ryder, who is a journalist and best-selling author who predicted the World Series victory in the June 2014 Sports Illustrated cover story. And he was the author of the New York Times bestseller, Astro Ball. So this is a guy who's been covering the Astros and writing books about the Astros for the last 6 or 7 years, who's going to put together a podcast about around this sign-stealing scandal. And maybe we can get some real answers. Then the final story here, A-Rod is trying to buy the Mets, apparently. They've been for sale here for a week or so. The billionaire hedge fund manager, Steve Cohen, put him up for sale, and apparently A-Rod.
Well, Cohen tried to buy him.
Oh.
And failed because, why am I drawing a blank on the family? They were the owners when I was
there. Wilpon.
Wilpon, yeah. The ones
who got Ponzi schemed.
Yeah, the Wilpons want $2.6 billion to buy 80% of the team, but while they'd still own 20%, get to run the organization for at least 5 more years.
Oh, okay, yeah, I could see how a prospective buyer
So that's
what
I'm saying. You probably need to get $3 billion to probably get them totally out, so then you can actually own the team outright, so you can run the organization.
What a weird idea. I want to sell most of it. I want to hold on to some of it, and I want to run it. But then it doesn't sound like you want to sell it.
No.
Are you broke?
No.
You want some cash flow?
Are you going to board once you sell it? I mean, what do you want stuff to do? It's not going to be your team. That's a weird story. Okay, so best of luck there to A-Rod trying to buy the Mets. I mean, he made enough money. He might be pretty dang close to being able to cobble something together. Okay, when we come back here, we are live at Premier Grilling in Frisco, El Dorado in the Toll. Valentine's night is off and running. Come in and take advantage of this Kamado Joe mega sale. It's very romantic. It'll warm things up, too. But coming up next, your best memories of Mike over the last 6.5 years. Send them in the Autoflex
best.
Leasing fan text. Yes, we don't want mean tweets at all. Come on.
Yeah.
Your funniest moments, the things you appreciated about Mike. And we'll get into those and more coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We are live at Premier Grilling. Look how late it is, still kind of light outside in DFW.
Oh, man, are you thinking soccer? Is soccer practice on your mind?
We're not that far away from being able to get out of here and still practice with some sunlight. So, yeah, spring sports are in the air, Mike, and my soccer obsession is never far away.
Okay.
But neither is my love for broadcasting with you. And this 6.5-year run is coming to an end. Congratulations and thank you once again. It was awesome to bring you on board, but then to watch you become such a beast of a broadcaster and help us take over, it was a really fun run.
Thank you. It was raw at first.
Yeah.
But we made it along.
We grew a lot together, both on the air and off, and it was really cool to get to know you like we have. Okay, so we want your thoughts, the Autoflex Leasing fan text at 877-881-1053. Your favorite Mike moments over the year, your most memorable Mike moments from over the 6.5 years, really. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the office of Frankel & Frankel at 214-333-3333 or go online to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by getmortgageready.com. And the Autoflex Leasing fan text is open for you. I know, you know, we should invite Jeff, you know, Lucius, anybody else. If you want to call in, if you have any, you know, memories or things you would like to share about Mike with Mike here during his final hour of broadcasting with us, now would be an appropriate time to do that.
Well, the 469 comes in, and I'm only going to read nice ones. Coach Ballsack giving the Cowboys a pep talk. Is one of his, and he says the other one is, and when Mike was drunk at the races,
oh, yeah,
are my favorite.
Yes.
I missed that.
Texas Motorsports. You weren't there?
No, I was out of town. The one where he's got the drop. Chris. First time I really get drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude, I was gone for that.
We were having a good time. They probably had us on for a couple of hours.
Yeah, it was like a Saturday night thing, right? And we had to spend the night.
Yeah, I think it was a TMS Daytona 500 weekend watch party.
Okay.
And they put, I think, like Talladega Nights on Big Hoss. Remember, they were debuting Big Hoss. And then the next day, we watched the Daytona 500 right there from an RV on the infield. But yeah, Mike had the great line. Then we'll really get drunk. And I tell you what, the greatest Coach Ballsack pep talk, it's not even close. It was a Buffalo Wild Wings or a Twin Peaks in like Carrollton, and Emmett Smith had just done some autograph signings, and we had like a fan event hangout afterwards. And the bar was full, and people were having a good time. And you did a live Coach Ballsack to the bar.
Okay, I can remember this.
This was incredible. Like a bar of like 200 or 300 people were all like watching Mike Bassick. I don't even know if you had a mic or if you were just yelling it loud, but you were talking about like football god or something.
Yeah, and I had to make sure I didn't cuss.
Yes.
It was obviously you couldn't bleep the
So it was live on air inside of a bar.
Yes.
Yeah, that was an incredible moment, probably during the KNC Masterpiece.
And then I guess recently somebody said they really liked when, or at least they'll remember when I walked out because I got mad at Jeff. And then the other time where, I don't know if it was the same time or another time, when I said you're full of, and then I almost said the word, or maybe I did say the word and it got dumped. And I was like, dump after I accidentally said the word.
These are three in a row. Best memories are when Mike and Jeff go at it every time. My favorite moments when Mike's told to shut up. Loved every Jeff and Mike fight.
There's been like people have been like, you and Jeff, you don't like each other? And I'm like, no, we're like, we're kind of like family members who really razz each other, and we try to at times get under each other's nerves and just see how far it can go. And sometimes we both go far enough where we irritate the hell out of each other, but it's not like we don't like each other.
I did a top secret interview that'll probably be released on Monday, a top secret one, And they asked, they're like, what is that dynamic like? And I was like, it's really kind of turned into like he's the big brother. And all we do is spend our day either having fun or seeing if we can make the other one mad. And it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
We love it. It's the clubhouse thing. We kick each other in the junk because it's fun.
This one coming in, and that's when I gave Jeff $20 and he gave out his phone number live on the air.
Oh, yeah. That was recently. Wasn't that just like a year or so ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe 6 months or so ago. And
probably.
Quite the number. We learned quite a bit about blocking calls and blocking texts and stuff.
I learned so much about how my phone works and how to filter things. It was great.
About 2,500 or so came in the first 10 minutes. Yeah, that was amazing. The freestyle rapping Mike used to do was also epic.
Yeah, as a F-, but made it, I guess, A+ to the listener because it was so pathetic and I was honestly trying my best.
Yeah, you know, you tried your hardest and you never gave up. You know, like I'm horrible at freestyle rapping too, but if I would try, I'd be like, oh crap, I don't have anything else to say. And
so
I just freeze.
I just keep making words.
Yeah, you just keep talking,
just keep
even though it doesn't rhyme.
It's not rhyming. There's no rhythm to it. Just keep going. So let's see. A whole bunch are coming in. Jeff, you can help me out on here because you're a better reader than I am.
Getting dog cussed by Jerry Jones.
Yeah, Jerry got on me a few times, but hey. I'll be going back to middays, which means I will be back on the Jerry Jones phone calls.
I feel like you and I together made great radio at times, but also you and I comboing up on Jerry commentary at time triggered him.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, if it was just me saying something and wondering about something or just you kind of, you know, giving your thoughts. But when we started speculating on how incompetent or absent Jerry Jones might be, it really touched him in a way. So I am looking forward to hopefully, you know, fewer nervous moments as Lucius informs us that Jerry Jones is on the hotline and he wants to talk to us. It's almost unreal that it happens, right?
I know. And then you're like, oh, no. And I can remember when it's happened. You know, those are burned in my brain. Charles Haley calling Mike ugly as F.
That was great.
Yep, that happened.
Didn't we have Stone Cold on that same day?
Yeah,
we were there at TMS.
Yeah.
They did a great job at bringing us amazing guests. It was the guy from The Office, too, John Krasinski or whatever.
Yeah, yep.
He was there. Tons of, you know, big-time celebrities and stuff throughout the years. I'll never forget.
Oh, when I talked over the CBS Sports Minute on Jim Rome.
Oh, that was great.
That was exceptional.
That was the day that Mike got a folder with CBS.
Yeah, I got called in the office.
What'd they tell you? Never do it again?
Or? Yeah, and then later they were like, if you really feel like it, because I think the Tolos liked it so much that they were – They were mad. The corporate people were very mad because those things pay the bills.
Yeah, and they hire those people.
Yeah,
they're like, why doesn't your audience like John Feinstein for crying out loud?
Because he's terrible.
I can't believe you have talent interrupting Jim Rome.
Yeah, so that was
was my best suit.
the problem there is that I would be possibly losing money for the company.
Okay. Yeah, I could see how they would want to discourage that a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like it was the first week or two of the show. I'll remember this specifically because it kind of shaped the way that I interacted or pushed your buttons. Jeff has a way of pushing your buttons where you laugh about it, right?
Yeah.
But it was a remote at the Harley-Davidson store in Grand Prairie. Okay. And I remember we were debating something about a Cowboys loss.
I can remember how mad I was.
But I felt like, man, Mike was so mad, he had to call his dad to come over here and talk him down during the break. I'm like, man, this guy gets hot about the Cowboys.
it was early on.
Is that why your dad came by, or
he
just saying hi?
No, he just came by because that place is close to where he lives. And, like, I can remember I just was like, I'm just not going to talk the rest of the show.
Yeah.
And then, so I wasn't talking pretty much the rest of the show. And my dad was talking to you guys during break, like, how's it going? And I'm over in the corner, like, in my head going, F these guys.
I can't believe I took this job.
So I can remember that day. I can't remember exactly what set me off, but I was set off. I was like, I'm just going to shut up, but I'm mad.
Yeah.
There's dad over there. Hey, what's going on, guys? Great that Mike's on your show. And I'm like, F this.
817 says the Matthew McConaughey commercial. Was that the burger?
Another TMS moment. We were there at their media day for like 2016 or 17 or something. You could tweet in your favorite memories of Mike on the show. At GBagNation is our Twitter account. The AutoFlex Leasing fan text is open at 877-881-1053.
What was that commercial about? It was about some kind
of
cheeseburgers.
Burgers. It's
yeah.
Whatever.
Carl's Jr.
Charles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Going to eat it up.
Yep. Going to eat it up. Mike trying to run through the studio door, and the door didn't budge.
Yep. I was running through a wall for the Cowboys' 2016 playoff run. Yeah. Then I got mad, and then after that was over, like the next week after they lose to Green Bay, I'm so mad, and I don't know what Sean did to me or something, but I go in there, hit me as hard as you can, and let him hit me. As I was like, no, hit me harder.
Dude, that was an incredible moment because, like, you and Sean were talking about something, and I think he tried to bow up on you or talk tough or something.
Yeah.
And you went in there like, no, you're tough. Go ahead, hit me. Hit me as hard as you want.
And then I made him hit me again. I was like, hit me again.
Hit me again. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it happens.
Yeah, where... I lose my anger. I'm trying hard on that, and my wife would say I'm definitely not trying hard enough.
I thought you were going to kick KT's ass at the wiffle ball game. I'm just going to come out and say it. And
I was getting so mad.
I was surprised a throwdown didn't happen or something.
Yeah, my wife was like, you can't just leave us. You can't just, because you're mad because you lost some game that doesn't matter, you can't just leave us at your radio thing because we came out to see you.
Oh, they were there and you bailed on them? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I had no idea about that.
I didn't
bail
on them, but I, like, took off. I'm like, let's go.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not walking with you guys. I'm walking to the car and getting out of here, and if you want to leave, you can walk faster.
That loss did drive me nuts because – Sands and whoever was celebrating so much, or Sean and whoever
was
celebrating.
Yeah, and Jeff changed teams.
Jeff changed teams in the middle of it?
No, you changed teams like, you know, it got all
fixed. I thought I got drafted by the team. I know they brought in a ringer from, like, UNT.
Yeah, it got all
played
fixed.
On the wiffle ball team.
That's what made me so mad is as we were losing, I was like, they fixed it.
Yeah, they did. Okay, let's go out to the phones here at 877-881-1053. Lucius, we have somebody waiting to join the conversation.
Wayne Gretzky in East Texas. What up, Wayne? Okay, it's your boy. What up?
Hey, what's up, G-Bag Nation? How y'all doing?
Evening, Wayne. Good to hear from you.
Hey, man, I got two stories about Mike Bask. I'll make them quick. The first one, I was at a remote with y'all, right, at Twin Peaks, and this old guy comes sitting up, and he's, like, sitting there waiting for y'all to go to break. Y'all go to break, and he asked Mike to sign some stuff. So, yeah, I've seen it. Mike actually does give autographs. But I go up right behind this older gentleman, and I go, Mike, man, sign my man boobs. And he looked at me the same way I guarantee he looks at his kids when they say something dumb. He looked at me, and I'm just standing there like, whoa! Okay, and then it was super cool after. He didn't sign my man boots, but it's all good. But, no, the other story, I showed up. It was the draft that we had. We drafted Leighton Vander Esch, and we were in, like, Plano. Y'all were at a remote at another place in Plano. And I got Mike this authentic Hulk Hogan costume, right? And it just was a bit. It was a bit. And he threw it on in the bar and is walking around, like, taking pictures with people with this, like, wig on, like, I don't know, it was ridiculous. I just want to tell y'all from all the Tolos, man, we appreciate y'all, and it's awesome. We love growing with y'all, man. God bless y'all.
Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate you. Y'all have a good weekend out there, and a happy Valentine's Day in East Texas.
People are also putting in Lucius's kind of when I say a joke, when I have a joke, they're going to miss Lucius.
Hot
putting
snort,
me in my
get
course.
Ready. One night, one night only. Mike Bassett coming to the stage.
So, yeah.
I blame Gavin for all the bad jokes because Lucius tries to tell you they're terrible, but Gavin just supports you, and it's sickening.
I don't know what it is about dad jokes, like dad's joking, but I feel like when people think they're bad, it makes me feel even better.
Yeah. It kind of takes the pressure off, I feel like. You know, I feel like, Mike and I are similar in our comedy. You know, Jeff, you have your thing. Lucius has his thing with the impressions, the impersonations. And, Mike and I, we're very different in some ways, but very similar in others. And I feel like dad jokes is about the only thing we got in the comedy realm. You know what I'm saying? So I'm pulling for him to be relevant and interesting because it gives me hope I can do it too.
Yeah, and then somebody says when Mike throws his threw his back out in the middle of a show. I don't remember my back, but I get cramps. Mm-hmm. So in the middle of shows, I will get cramps, especially on Wednesdays after spin.
The back one, I think you did like 2 hours laying on the ground.
That's probably after back surgery.
Okay, I feel like there was one before the surgery though, where you threw it out, and you were just like, "I can't get up. Just bring the mic to me."
He the day after Dez caught it, he did about an hour of radio giving blood at our first aid blood drive there at 75 and Fitzhugh down there in our performance showroom. So, you know, there's a lot of different postures I'd say you're capable of broadcasting from.
Thank you. And you know what? I will say this. I bet it's not my last show ever on the G-Bag Nation.
Yeah, I'd be shocked about that myself. You know, got a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, like when
people take
vacations. And you know, that might be one of those things where it might not be, though, all four of us together at the same time. It might be where I just have to fill in for an afternoon show. But
so it's true that we do hate each other, and you won't be on the show unless I'm gone for the day.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So, Jeff, who are you going to resume telling shut up? Is that Broadus? Is that me?
I think it'll be Brian.
Okay.
Because I don't know.
You'll get into more debates?
No, I don't know what it is about our personalities, but I don't feel comfortable telling you to shut up.
Okay.
And I do feel comfortable telling Brian to shut up.
Man, I don't know what it is either, but I wish it wasn't that way.
Okay.
I wish you saw me as someone you could tell to shut up, just like that.
Well,
you know?
Okay, well, from now on, Gavin,
yeah,
I will tell you to shut up.
Ooh. I appreciate that,
and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Tell me when that's going to happen.
We'll
so
test
I can
the waters.
Listen.
You shut up now.
What are you curious about witnessing, Mike? How I take it?
Yes. It matters. It'll matter what mood you're in and what you're talking about.
Okay. All right.
You wouldn't want to tell him to shut up either, would you?
Nope.
And what would be your worry? That you would hurt my feelings
that
so much?
You'd get really mad.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate the honest feedback, okay? I want to be the kind of guy that can be told to shut up without the person who's telling it worry about my feelings. All right? I'm going to be fine.
See? You're already hurt.
I know. I'm a fragile and pathetic man. Thanks for carrying me for the last 6.5 years,
Oh,
Mike.
Wow. Thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome. Finally, you admit it.
Let's go. We're live at Premier Grilling here. El Dorado and the Toll in Frisco. We have one more segment to do. We'll crosstalk with the – yeah.
Before it's over, hey, Lucius, can I do my commercial now so I can leave early?
Oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead, man. I got you lined up, bro.
Okay, hey.
I seen this coming.
Sure. Okay, good.
Thank you very much, Lucius, and thanks to Premier Grilling in Frisco for having us here, El Dorado and the Toll, four Premier Grilling locations now, McKinney, Plano, Frisco, and Southlake, and a Kamado Joe Mega Sale continues. Not only that, but check out PremierGrilling.com if you've been interested in doing an outdoor kitchen, outdoor patio, living area. They have a design and construction team that are amazing. So here we are now, Mike, our final crosstalk before we say goodbye to you and you join the KNC Masterpiece. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. During one of the breaks about an hour ago, I told Jeff about baseball nuggets probably that I'll have on Monday, and he's pretty much told me to shut up off the air. I don't care about your baseball nuggets anymore because you're not going to be on the show.
Right, yeah. Yeah, we'll handle your
so
baseball
I was like,
nuggets.
Well,
yeah.
If you
– we're actually going to keep the segment name. It's okay. Property of the G-Bag Nation.
All right.
Let's come up with a new segment name, yeah.
Baseball things.
Yeah, there you go. Baseball stuff with Mike.
Yeah, I would look forward to that, and perhaps Jared Sandler joining us, especially during Ranger season to keep us up to speed. But we'll be tuned in. I was hoping the Nuggets would find their former home there, the 1140 spot, but
it
sounds like you guys have other plans.
That is gridiron gravy.
Okay.
So what?
And when's Battle of the Beasts? I've been wanting KNC to bring back that thing from the evening show.
I don't know.
Oh, it's gold. I love that.
Did they know it was Nuggets before it was gravy? And Nuggets go with gravy if you want them to.
I don't know.
They
oh,
will.
Wow, I can't believe the way they're disrespecting it's you before your first day.
It's essentially a tiny chicken fried steak. Dunk it in some gravy, you know?
Yeah,
it's delicious. Exactly. Here they come, the nosebleed seats, Chiafalo and Woolchuck, the typical configuration. We go into studio now for more information.
I feel like that's a 50% configuration.
Yeah, yeah. What'd you call yesterday, Chiafalo or Woolchuck?
Yeah, Chiafalo or Woolchuck and guest.
The nosebleed seat and company.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, come in.
Hello, how we doing, boys? It is just half of the nosebleed seats tonight.
Uh-huh.
It's gonna be
yep.
It's gonna be the Chiafalo show with Chris Arnold.
Guest.
Very nice.
Yeah, Chris
wow.
is the company that we're
the
keeping
Chiafalo
tonight.
Chiafalo show. That was disrespectful to Chris.
Well it
happens.
It's the Chiafalo and Arnold show.
There you go. Much better.
And the Sap and Atitula show.
We definitely look forward to checking it out here over the next 4 hours and hearing your guys' takes on the sports world and the news of the day. What do you guys have planned?
Can I tell y'all one of the funniest Mikey B stories?
Oh, yeah. We would love it.
Remember we went out on the lake. G-Bag took a bunch of Tolos
fishing.
Out on the lake. Lake was it Chamberlain Reservoir? And we went fishing.
I don't remember
Richland
the name.
Chambers lake. Richland Chambers.
Richland
yep.
Chambers Lake. We went fishing, and Mike caught fish, and Lucius was catching fish, and Gavin was catching fish, and Jeff was catching fish. I was catching fish, and I videoed it. And then we started riding those
those wave riders out there. That was fun, man. The Tuttles had a blast too. But I was watching. I think, Mike, didn't you say that was the first time you went fishing?
Pretty much. I've been fishing before, but I'm not a huge fan of it. But I will say that's the most fish I've ever caught in that short amount of time.
It was crazy all that fish we caught.
We caught like 16 in a couple hours, or maybe even more than that.
It was ridiculous. Yeah, we limited. With giant fish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, they were the kind of fish that you're like, are you sure this fishing pole is sturdy enough to reel this thing in?
And then we were on, I remember being on the dock and watching Lucius, and I don't know what he'd put on his
hook,
but he would just, like, it was like a little bit of meat, and he'd just be like on the dock and be catching catfish.
It was insane. It's like, they talk about the honey hole. Nobody catches fish the way we were catching fish that day. That was insane.
Yeah, it was like a more than a honey hole. That was like a honey stretch of the lake. Woo. Went on forever.
Mercy.
And those guys definitely knew how to get it done. That was just, that was down 45. You took a left at like Corsicana. Is that the town down there, Corsicana?
Yeah, down back.
And you head towards
Corsicana.
Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they had this little tourist thing set up, and that was an incredible afternoon and evening indeed.
Speaking of Corsicana, I know this is weird for crosstalk. Have you guys checked out the Netflix show Cheer, based off of the Navarro cheerleading situation? Mm-mm. I didn't know. I mean, I've known of Navarro forever.
Amanda's been watching it, and she's like, you have to watch this. And I was like, I'm not watching a show called Cheer.
I watched some of it with my wife because she was a cheerleader, and now my daughter has decided she wants to try out for Cheer next year, her sophomore year.
Sorry to hear that.
I know. I'm sorry about it, too. I'm kind of like, are you sure? Are you sure?
You sure you don't want to play a sport and have people cheer for you?
So anyway,
Cheer does not exist in this family, does it?
I didn't know. Navarro wins the national championship in Cheer pretty consistently, and they're beating D1 schools. Like,
wow.
They're the number one cheer school in the country.
Over
even
UCLA.
Over D1. Yeah, and they can only be there for 2 years. You can't be at Navarro for more than 2 years because you're supposed to, at that point, go to a four-year school, or you get your, what is it called, associate's degree or something like that, your 60 hours. And so it's actually really entertaining. I will say that. I'm not saying, like, you have to watch it, but it's entertaining.
Worth the watch.
If you're
pretty good drama.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying, like, you have to see it, but I'd say if you have free time, I think you'd be interested in it.
Gentlemen, what's coming up on your show this evening?
Oh, we got a lot of good stuff tonight.
Yes,
it is Valentine's Day, General. So all throughout the show, we do want to take the Tolos text on sports names that connote Valentine's Day. Sports names that connote Valentine's Day. We will be weaving that in and out of the show all evening long. Right off the top, if the theory is true about Jerry making a draft splash, what would be the splash that you want them to make? Is it moving up for a quarterback, moving up for any other position, taking a wide receiver in the first round, Kavanaugh? What do you want them to do if they're making a splash? And then Dwayne Price, DallasMavericks.com, live from the All-Star Game in Chicago. We'll do that at 7:20.
I want to move up for a badass defensive lineman, if need be, unless that Kinlaw dude falls to get 17. And my name, I'm going to go with the blast from the past, who no doubt CA remembers.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt Chiafalo has no idea who I'm talking about. Mike does.
Here we
Jeff,
go.
I don't know. You know who I'm talking about, CA? The great Darnell Valentine.
That's right, Kansas.
Oh, very good. All right, you're
great
on the
guard.
Board. You're on the board, Dawson.
Bobby Valentine.
That's another one.
That's another great one.
Hey, former Notre Dame quarterback Julian Love.
Ooh, I like that.
Ooh.
Stan Love, Kevin Love's dad, and Kevin Love.
How'd you go to his dad first?
And
I don't know.
Love. And Bob Love. There's a Bob Love that played in the NBA back in the day. The Chicago
baseball
Bulls.
Player named Sexton.
Oh, yeah.
Richie Sex is a ton.
Indians.
Yeah.
All right.
With him?
Yeah, game's over.
He was
you win,
a little
Kavanaugh.
Bit older than me. He was like, when I was in A-ball, he was in AAA, and then he eventually got traded to the Brewers.
Yeah. I saw him at a celebrity golf tournament once, and this son of a gun was hitting like 425 yards and crushing like a beer a hole. He and his family
like him, yeah.
were some golf and drinking machines. I was just standing back in awe, like, wow, that's how you do it at a charity golf tournament, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. They were like a rock and roll band, like the Rolling Stones, marauding over a golf course. Well, all right, gentlemen, we look forward to
Jake Butt. Former Michigan tight end Jake Butt.
not names that connote sex, Kavanaugh. That connotes Valentine's.
Oh, I thought it was just stuff we love. Well,
you do want to, you know, put that on your agenda.
Richard Seymour.
Oh, because Richard?
Yeah.
It's good.
There you go. It's good. I thought you were going for the Seymour Butts angle.
Yeah, really.
Go either way.
He's still on fire.
Nice work, boys.
The dad jokes, yeah.
Have a great show, gentlemen, and a great night. We'll catch up with you on Monday, and have a great Valentine's weekend.
Right, you have a great weekend too, fellas. See you, Mike.
Nosebleed Seats coming up next.
See, I'm already leaving.
Thanks to Premier Grilling in Frisco. Mike will be on with the KNC Masterpiece Monday, 10 to 2. Mike, you got to have some parting thoughts for us or some sort of a speech. You have 30
seconds.
He
wants to go.
I'm a big speech guy. Thank you, guys. It's been an awesome ride. I'm excited about KNC Masterpiece, but I'm really going to miss this. And, you know, maybe if it doesn't work out, I'll just demand to come back to this show, and there's nothing anybody can do about it.
Thanks for putting up with Mike over the last 6.5 years.
We turned the contract now, too.
Thanks, Mike. You're 10 welcome. To 2 Mondays. Thank you so much for turning it on and leaving it on. I think you're really going to enjoy this next configuration here on your Home of the Cowboys and Home of the Mavericks, 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.